Well, a very good Tuesday afternoon to you, the 23rd of December. Vince Guaraldi, Linus and Lucy, putting a little extra pep in your step and maybe a smile on your face as it does ours. We've got the team together here in Focus with Paul W. Smith for Relentless Positive Radio for the holidays. Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, all set, ready to go. And to help us have a great show, our last live show until January 5th, Mike Parsons working very hard on putting what they say, what they always call the best of shows, which is always a little uncomfortable for me. We try to make every show the best it can be, but be that as it may, there are some shows that shine a little brighter. Are you finding some?
Oh, yeah. They're all in the can and ready to go.
Oh, all right. Okay.
If you missed Paul getting the key to the city, if you missed Paul being told by, was it Bill Ford Jr., that as long as you're on the radio, they'll put AM radios in cars.
That was big. That was big for the industry. Yeah.
Yeah. And some other things that I remember off the top of my head, but it's going to be great.
All righty. Speaking of great, Lindsey Vonn has qualified for the Winter Olympics.
Oh, wow.
At the age of 41, having gone through what many called a career-ending injury.
Right, because I was under the impression she was retired, but maybe she thought she was retired because of her injury.
She was retired, but she's back at it and doing very well. So it gives everybody a chance to understand that you never have to say never. You never should give up. It's never too late to start living the life you've always wanted to live, and you thought, well, I never got to live the life I wanted to live. It's not too late to start.
As long as you're still living.
Yes. Well, I just had a piece I put on my Instagram, Paul W. Smithsta, and I had not looked at it this way. I just want to make sure I quote it exactly right, so I'm going to my phone, and I'm going to sign on to that and go to my
Paul W. Smithsta, yes.
Here it is. It's Charlie Brown and Snoopy sitting in the snow on a dock being contemplative. And Charlie Brown says something he thinks is very deep, and I've heard it before. You've heard it before, too. Haven't we all heard this? We only live once. So he's saying, we only live once, Snoopy. And Snoopy wisely says, this is for all of us. When Charlie Brown says we only live once, Snoopy says, wrong. We only die once. We live every day. Wow.
And Snoopy as a dog lives 7 times because of dog
years. That's right. Out of the mouths of dogs. Once again. So anyway, that... I don't know where that came from, why it was, I guess, Lindsey Vonn, or I'm not sure what it was. Powerball jackpot has increased to an estimated $1.7 billion after no one won the top prize in the last drawing. I don't have to give the number. Well, I'll give the numbers now that it brought it up, but, I mean, by now everyone should know. The numbers were 3, 18, 36, 41, and 54, with a red Powerball of 7 and a multiplier of 2 times.
So they know if somebody wins before someone comes forward, right? Like they know,
yes,
somewhere out there there's a winning ticket.
Right. And someone may claim it and someone may not, which is the horrifying thing.
I know. Could you imagine losing that ticket?
Tickets that matched 5 numbers won $1 million each in several states, including Florida, Georgia, Illinois, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. The upcoming drawing will be the 47th consecutive drawing since the last Powerball jackpot winner, which is, that part, setting a new record. The odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292.2 million. So you're saying there is a chance?
And I think, I was thinking the exact same thing. I think the drawing's tomorrow, so imagine.
I believe that is correct.
Imagine winning that on Christmas Eve.
I cannot imagine winning that, but I'll try to, because that would be great.
You know, I'd settle for
let's face it.
I would settle for just the $1 million ticket. I'm not greedy.
Well, I am greedy, and I want the whole multi-billion, whatever
okay,
the heck
deal.
It is.
1.6 billion?
1.7 now, they say.
Yeah. Well, you know, right, Paul, so after taxes, it's only 1.1 billion.
Right. After taxes, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, cash, you only get 700 million before taxes.
Wow.
I'm sure.
Why bother?
Kim pointed something out very interesting. As she wears sparkly things around the holidays, she always she loves Christmas and she does Christmas beautifully. Is that Kevin leaving?
Kevin Dietz is leaving the building till next
Kevin
year.
Kevin Dietz is out the door. Kevin, we love you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
This is the time of year where you make that lame joke to everyone saying, "See you next year."
You think that's a lame joke?
It's about played out. Why? Is that your go-to?
No, it's not my go-to. But when I think of a lame line, it's when it's bitter cold out and someone says, "Cold enough for you?" That really gets me. But
Yeah. Anyway,
see you next year. I guess I've been hearing it for so many years, I've become numb to it.
Right.
And I do not react terribly to it, Mike.
You're benevolent to it.
All right, the one piece of clothing the TSA says don't wear to airports over the holidays. What do you think it is? Go ahead.
I want to say a hoodie, maybe?
No, I don't like hoodies anywhere, but for a lot of reasons. But the TSA, PSA, I like that, says the body scanners don't love sparkles.
Oh.
Like she had Kim had on a shirt today that said, like, Merry Christmas with all sparkly stuff. She said, if I went to the airport now, I'd have to take off my top. And I said, well, let's go.
But ma'am, anyway, we're going to need to confiscate your sequins.
Yeah. The body scanners don't love sparkles. We don't want to dull your holiday shine, but we don't recommend wearing your sparkly holiday sweater to the airport. That's what the agency wrote in a Facebook post. In addition to avoiding sparkles, travelers should be aware that sweaters may have to be removed during the screening process, specifically what the TSA defines as light outer garments or bulky clothing. These outer clothing layers can include windbreakers, vests, light jackets, pullover hoodies, large sweaters, cardigans, and ponchos. Okay, that's fine.
Wow.
I mean, it's better to know ahead of time.
Right.
Just forewarned is forewarned.
I'd be so embarrassed if I wore my flying poncho to the airport and held up the line.
Do you have a flying poncho?
I do not.
Oh. Okay. We've got all kinds of stuff here. 4 mindful tips to de-stress this holiday season. 5 ways to stay healthy during the Christmas season. The sad news that we probably have all heard by now is that Barry Manilow has revealed he has lung cancer, which is very sad. He is 82 years old. The hopeful news, at least the way it's being released, is they found it very early.
And he's hoping to be performing again by February. So let's hope he's able to do that.
Well, let's hope so. You know, it's what he wants to do.
I think when you're going through, I think when you're going through something like that, you need something to look forward to and work towards, I think.
I agree completely. You do need something to look forward to. So I'm going to look forward to my dad's reading Letter to a Friend at the end of our show today. People often say, can you record that and send it to me? I'm afraid I cannot.
Well, I will.
I can't.
I will post it on the WJR Facebook and Instagram pages before I leave today for the holiday season.
You said you would, and I appreciate that because then it's a way for people to get to it. I've already heard from people how much they enjoy it, and it is kind of a regular thing. So we will get Letter to a Friend with William D. Smith coming up at the near the end of the show. All right, we're underway. It's going to be a great day, continue to be, and a great Christmas week. December 26th, we start Kwanzaa. We've just finished up Hanukkah. It is the time of year I wish we could carry this holiday cheer, these holiday feelings with us all year round, and God knows we need that. It is 12:14. Caitlin Buss coming up next. Well, time is running out, but it hasn't run out altogether. If you're like me, at least in the past, I was the guy that was, wait a minute, you're not closing right now, are you? It's only 6 o'clock on December 24th. That doesn't happen anymore for me. I admit it did. Now, if you're running into time crunches, here's a no-brainer, a can't-miss suggestion. You can celebrate life's special moments like Christmas, because celebrating life's special moments has been at the heart of Ahe Jewelers since Edmund T. Ahe opened his first store in 1947. Now, over 75 years later, and across three generations, the Ahe family has since built an international reputation for award-winning artistry, superior selection, exceptional customer experience. I speak from customer experience. For years, the best, without question, without pressure, without second-guessing and wondering if I really got a good opportunity, a really classic piece of jewelry, timepiece, whatever it might be, the big brand names you know, plus their own custom in-house jewelry you can't get anywhere else, but people come from everywhere to get. Ahe's team of experts standing by to help you select that perfect gift from their vast selection of those coveted brands, including that line of custom in-house jewelry. And now they've got their newly opened Patek Philippe showroom. Patek Philippe, the finest timepiece in the world, and this showroom is the finest special showroom in the country, if not the world. And by the way, you still will enjoy that complimentary parking throughout all of Grosse Pointe Woods through the end of the year, once again, courtesy of Ahe and the whole family at Edmund T. Ahe Jewelers. I want you to experience the magic of Ahe's commitment to giving you and me, giving customers, more than we expect. And yes, of course, spectacular gift wrapping once you've picked out that great gift. Spectacular gift wrapping at no extra charge. The Ahe's would have it no other way. That's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what you'll find, that everything is the way it should be at Ahe Jewelers in Grosse Pointe Woods with extended holiday hours during this festive month of December. And from the entire Ahe family and three generations of them, they wish you a very Merry Christmas, a happy, healthy, and holy New Year from Ahe's. It's 12:18 at WJR. Well, always a pleasure to welcome our next guest, and I'd like to close out the year like this with Caitlin Buss, the deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit News. Good afternoon to you, Caitlin. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Good afternoon. Same to you. Great to be here.
We have this unending fascination with Epstein, and what's fabulous about this is we're seeing something that I pointed out years ago, and that is the Clintons were the best at this and the first, that whenever they complained about someone doing something that was probably wrong, maybe even illegal, it meant that they were doing that. And their best defense was pointing to others and saying they're doing it. So now Bill Clinton is pointing to the problems he thinks that Donald Trump has with the Epsteins, yet and the pictures that have been released, and the Democrats had them too, but they were trying to protect Bill Clinton, are way more damning to Bill Clinton in the hot tub, in the pool, and everywhere else than what's happened to Trump. So now he goes on the offensive and says, well, they should release all the Epstein files.
Yes. Well, you're right that this is kind of how they operate. Always willing to have hindsight, but never willing to lead in the first place on the right way to go. Look, it's a pretty remarkable situation. I think personally we're not going to find or receive much more than we have, which, you know, isn't criminal activity. So for me, it's like, are there charges coming for Bill Clinton or Donald Trump or either of these people? I would assume not, because especially if Clinton's asking for this. You know, and so what what is the drip drop for, except to, you know, extend the news cycle, salacious material. If there's criminal activity, I'd really like to see that dealt with. But so far, it's ended with Epstein.
It has ended with Epstein.
As far as we know.
As far as we know. We'll get
but,
more
you know, you have I think the biggest impact here is, you know, how it's dividing Republicans, too. And Trump was right. It's really no good for anybody. But those who are, you know, responsible need to be held accountable.
Big question. I know that 60 Minutes is in the news for pulling a story on maximum mm-hmm. security prison. They've got this new Barry Weiss in charge, and people are guessing and thinking and pointing fingers. And somebody fed it to a Canadian television station, so they ran it or are about to run it. All of that is, to me, bologna and cheese, because 60 Minutes is well known for editing for their own benefit. They got sued and paid off for doing that. Now they've got a new person in charge that doesn't want that to happen again. But be that as it may, what are your thoughts? And I know you're the deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit News. You might be hesitant. I'm not hesitant to say the New York Times is not at all what it once was. That doesn't mean it's always been leftist, but it used to be at least good at what it did.
Yeah.
You never would find the mistakes in the New York Times that you find today. But meanwhile, President Trump brands New York Times, quote, a serious threat to the national security of our nation in a late night rant. Here we go again. What say you, Caitlin Buss?
I don't like that kind of language, mostly because I think some people do take it for what it is. And so it does put journalists under threat. And, you know, that's something that we've been dealing with, honestly, since I have really ever started at the paper. And so, you know, I don't love that, but I don't think, you know, the New York Times is very respectable at this point. I think mostly one-sided. And, you know, I think what Barry Weiss is doing is, you know, I watched some of the movie, wherever it was online that it's been leaked out to, or the documentary. And it was relatively one-sided. So if they're trying to get balance in, I think that's great. I think she messed up by, you know, previously approving it and now pulling it. And so that's going to cause some questions. But look, the media landscape needs to be responsible. I think our paper does a really good job of that. But certainly other legacy media, you know, has dropped the ball, and Americans just don't trust what they hear.
We really don't. And it gets very tough when the old gray lady, the newspaper of record for the country, was the New York Times, but they have not lived up to their responsibility of good journalism or even proper journalism, sadly.
Yeah, it is hard to know what to believe. And, you know, I mostly trust what's coming out of the administration. There are, of course, moments where you kind of question that, too. So, you know, journalists have a big responsibility to try and get the truth. I don't claim to know exactly what happened with 60 Minutes, but, you know, Barry taking this stand of saying, hey, we're going to kind of do media differently, of course she's going to come under, you know, a lot of attack for that.
Yeah, but then she owned something called the Free Press. And I only saw a couple of stories from that, but off the top of my head, I wouldn't have thought of it as a right-wing mouthpiece in any way, shape, or form.
No, and it never has been. It's just, it's objective and it's good. You know, but if they can malign that as right wing, then, you know, it undermines it. So,
yeah, that's just crazy. Well, have a very Merry Christmas, a happy, healthy, holy new year to you and your family. Thanks for all you've done for us all the time, whenever we call upon you, whether to fill in with your husband in advance of your big podcast that I want to be the executive producer of and make a little money off you. But anyway,
the 2026 goal.
Yeah, that's a good goal for both of us. We love you and we thank you so very much.
Thanks, Paul. It's been a great year with you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Caitlin Buss, deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit News, here with Paul W. Smith in Focus at 12:29. Jared Halpern is here, Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor extraordinaire. Hope you're having a good Christmas week, finishing up with Hanukkah and December 26th, we move right along and continue to celebrate, because we celebrate Kwanzaa. We celebrate everything, Jared, with you.
Boxing Day and everything.
Yeah, heck yes. We got Canadians listening right across the river.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I hope you've got some time off.
I'll take a couple days off this week. I took sort of the big trip over Thanksgiving, so we'll keep the needles moving, as we used to say in radio here.
when there were needles.
Aren't there any more needles anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Now. It's on the light.
I don't know. Well, so not a shock, I don't think. The president has talked down windmills and wind projects for quite some time. Apparently, they got the paperwork to him to show him how much money was being invested, I guess, from a federal standpoint. He said, whoa, wait a minute. And he killed those things.
Yeah, the president's been clear. There is some energy he doesn't like. He does not like windmills. He thinks that they are a cost loser. He thinks that they are unattractive. He thinks they bring down property values. And so you've seen him now start to shut down some of these projects. Some of that's going to face some lawsuits. Obviously, there is money that has been federally appropriated, and you know, folks have started working on those projects with that funding. So it's definitely going to probably cause some legal pushback. The other, you know, kind of contrarian view here is that, you know, the president's talked a lot about the amount of energy that is needed for AI, right? Artificial intelligence requires just an absolute enormous amount of energy, of electricity. They are going to have to generate that. That is why you see the president talking about new nuclear plants, more drilling and natural gas and everything. But there have been questions that have said, if we're going to have sort of an all of the above policy, why would we get rid of one of these energy sources, right? In this case, wind power. Again, a lot of this predates his presidency. You'll recall the president had some prime golf real estate in Scotland, tried to fight the government in the UK over windmills that he said diminished the view from his golf course. He was unsuccessful in that. But this is certainly not the first time we've seen President Trump take a negative view on these windmills and these offshore wind projects.
Well, he even talked about it. If you said this, I missed it. But all the birds that were being killed, and I remember in other administrations, if they brought that up, they would be lauded as humanitarians looking out for the birds.
Sure, there's certainly been some studies that, you know, have put some of what the president has said in dispute. The other thing that's notable is when you talk about some of these energy projects that the president is trying to stop, a lot of times it's viewed in kind of blue and red state lenses, right? That you've had blue states that have invested a lot more in alternative energy, and it is red states that are investing a lot more in kind of the fossil fuels or the older fuel. One of the exceptions has been Oklahoma, and the governor of Oklahoma has been very critical of President Trump taking away federal funding for windmills and wind energy, because that is a burgeoning industry in Oklahoma. I grew up in Texas. I had family out in West Texas, which used to be oil country, a little bit less so now. And I remember even as a kid, these long drives where you'd be like hours between towns in West Texas, and windmills have popped up. It is, you know, a source of jobs. It is a source of energy. And so there could be a little bit of pushback here, at least from some Republican corners as well, as the president tries to reorient U.S. energy policy.
Jared Halpern with us, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire. Last I heard, we were going after a third oil tanker. Have we landed and taken over that third oil tanker yet?
So far, we've not heard if that has happened. This is a pursuit that has been going on a couple of days. This is being carried out by the U.S. Coast Guard. It is a oil tanker that the United States says is flying a false flag to try and circumvent sanctions, but that it is a sanctioned tanker. President Trump yesterday said that they'll get it. He was also asked about the two seizures thus far of these oil tankers and said that his plan is for the United States to keep that oil and even keep the vessels. We'll see how that plays out. One of those vessels is already in a port in Houston. And so that'll be kind of the next level of this story. What do you do with the sanctioned oil? Do you kind of hold it in an escrow kind of situation? The president has talked about using it, putting it in the petroleum reserve, the strategic oil reserve, or just kind of selling it off. So President Trump is not particularly concerned at some of these some of the criticism that has mounted. And obviously, the big question is, what does this mean for Venezuela? President Trump has continued to say land strikes are going to happen, not just in Venezuela, but wherever these drug traffickers are. There is now a massive blockade off the coast of Venezuela to prevent any of these sanctioned ships from coming or going. You have seen now a couple of seizures. And something like 20-25% of the U.S. naval fleet in that southern command region, the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific. It is an enormous show of force by President Trump. His tensions really seem to be on a knife's edge here as it relates to Venezuela.
And quickly, the military saying there was a new strike on an alleged drug boat. At this point, they say killing one narco terrorist. Anything new on that?
No, I mean, these strikes are going to continue. They have not happened as frequently as we had seen earlier. Part of the reason we are told by Secretary Hegseth is that there are just fewer targets, that this has been very successful. It's not going to change a lot of the questions being asked on Capitol Hill, not just from Democrats, but from Republican lawmakers as well, especially on the Armed Services Committees, about the legal authority for these strikes, the need for more information. We have obviously heard a lot of questions about that double tap, that double strike back in September that killed survivors and kind of the legal reasoning behind that. So that's a story that's going to stay with us, and Congress is definitely going to demand hearings as they get back to session here early next year.
Jared Halpern, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, thanks for all your help all
Thank
year
you.
Long. We really appreciate you, Jared.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and everything else.
Thank you. All the same to you at 1242 at WJR. Happy to welcome Dr. Dave Skippers. He's Vice President, Chief Academic Officer, Academic Dean at the Troy-based Walsh College, and the author of a new book called The AI Reckoning. Dr. Skippers, welcome. Paul W. Smith here in Focus.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Talk to me about all of the misconceptions about AI. I have a million of them. If you think AI is software implementation, you're lost. If you think AI is here to replace humans, you're lost. If you think AI readiness is about org charts and training plans, you're missing the point entirely. So what is AI, and tell us why you wrote the book?
All right. Well, okay. So the reason I wrote the book is that, yeah, there's a lot of misperceptions on AI right now. I know a lot of the popular opinion is that AI is here to replace human beings. And I'll say there is some, you know, there's some folks that view it that way. There's clearly, I'll say, some CEOs historically who've said, hey, we're not going to hire people if we can replace them with AI and all this kind of fun stuff. But there is actually a very clear emerging trend within the data out there that CEOs are starting to realize that the sweet spot is not just bringing AI in to, I'll say, save money or increase efficiencies. It's to unlock new capabilities of pairing human workers with your AI entities as you deploy them. So what that means, I'll say there's some different versions out there, but I think the best way to describe it is you don't have to worry about being replaced by AI. You have to worry about someone, about being replaced by somebody who knows how to do your job with AI.
Ah, that's a good way to put it. So the people who are thinking that AI is coming to get their job, they're not exactly correct, but they're on the cusp of the correct thought, which is it will be people who know how to correctly, efficiently, effectively use AI that may step in and take your job.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say one of the ways that I like to describe it is, in part of what I get into in the book at the very beginning is that, you know, traditionally we've been doing business and running organizations in essence in the same structures and approaches we have for decades. What's starting to happen, and I'll say what some of the CEOs and other folks are starting to realize is that we've actually created how we work and how we build our processes around, in essence, I'll say the human limitations of how we can function and operate within an org. But when you bring AI in, it can actually add in additional efficiencies, but it can actually also unlock new innovations that allow us to entirely redesign how we work. So yeah, the short version to get back to that actual statement is we want people or people who are saying, hey, how do I ensure, you know, my place within the new AI economy, which I think is on its way. The way to do that is to lean in. How do I use AI? How do I use it effectively? One of the things that still, and I have consistently heard this, no matter which industry I talk to, is people who know how to do problem solving and think critically, that is still going to be needed even in the age of AI. So folks who can lean into that and then use AI to augment their abilities will actually kind of excel to the front.
Dr. Dave Skippers, his book is The AI Reckoning, and there is a, I think, probably very helpful gathering that's coming up, Humans and Machines, The AI Reckoning and Future of Work, and that's going to be Wednesday, January 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. as you'll join Wash College for an evening of networking, learning, and discussing and discussions focused on how AI is reshaping, not replacing, the workforce. Tell me how Walsh College is on the forefront of welcoming AI in the classroom.
Yeah, I would love to do that, Paul. So what we're doing is, like, I'll say, for instance, personally, I've created a digital twin of myself. So in essence, that is an AI entity that, you know, in essence mimics and functions similar to the way that I do. It assists in the classroom, so it can help students with feedback, you know, providing additional insights. We also have AI avatars that we are in testing phase and they're being deployed into the classroom. So what those do as well, it is an AI entity that 24/7, 365, you know, your professor might be sleeping at 3 or 4 a.m., but you can actually engage with that avatar, get assistance on the course, and it can actually help you and do things like tutoring and so on and so forth. So we are trying to be at the forefront of leading higher ed in, hey, how do we take this technology and unlock new capabilities to basically re-engineer and rebuild the learning process to move with the new capabilities?
Excellent. And so it sounds to me that students and alumni exploring careers in IT, business, emerging tech, employers and industry professionals maybe seeking to connect with talent, and even faculty and staff interested in AI's impact on business education would be the ones that would benefit greatly from this, the AI Reckoning and Future of Work Wednesday gathering, Humans and Machines, January 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. How do they get involved? How do they sign up for that?
I think if you just go straight to our website, Paul, we're also promoting it on LinkedIn as well. So there's a couple of different ways to get to that and actually do the sign up for it. It will be an on-site, so in person. So we are trying to get people to come out face-to-face and have that conversation. I will be leading a panel of different folks from industry who bring in very different views on, you know, what do they see emerging within their industries and where do we see this going. So,
do you have any book signings coming up?
Well, I'll have some there, and I will be able to sign at that event. But I don't have anything signed up or set up right now. But thank you for asking. Right. As we get more information, I'll certainly put that out.
So. Well, you know, you're talking to the radio station that has a gentleman who's a pretty successful author, and he does lots. Mitch does lots of book signings every time he has a book. So, and it's a very effective tool to market any kind of a book. So be that as it may, I'm not telling Dr. Dave Skippers what to do because I think he already knows. As vice president and Chief Academic Officer, the Academic Dean, and Troy-based Walsh College, author of The AI Reckoning. Thank you, Doctor. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks. Have a great holiday.
Thank you, sir, very much. As we are in Christmas week and the festivities and the family time, all of that means so much to all of us. Cherish it. Take out the phone and interview loved ones that may not be here next Christmas. Just a thought. We continue on WJR. Hour number two of Focus with the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. That's the primary team. And then, of course, Marie Osborne, Dave Rieger, Ann Thomas, Mike Kim Smith, and Relentless Positive Radio. We work together all year long on that, along with the help along the way of Ray Templin, Kyle Emmy, Parker Moser, Dominic Valentine, of course, Steve Fenateri, our fearless leader, Jeff Marcero, directing sales, and all the individual salespeople, too many to mention, and Mike Wheeler, too. All the support team behind the scenes, too. The team. We do our own Olympics, as I think of Lindsey Vonn qualifying for the Winter Olympics at 41. We have people of all ages working hard, wishing, too, that they could win the Powerball jackpot, which has increased to an estimated $1.7 billion after no one won the top prize in the last drawing. 47th consecutive drawing since the last Powerball jackpot winner, setting a new record. And the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot, 1 in 292.2 million. So you're saying there's a chance? Yes, indeed. You can't win if you don't buy a ticket. But as Ron used to say, you know, you have about the same odds of winning whether you buy a ticket or you don't. Now, that's just his joke. That's not true. It may feel that way. And here we are approaching what we haven't for the first time now in 100 years, Christmas falling on 12/25/25. Do you remember the song? In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
No, keep singing it, though. It might come to
me. No, I can't keep singing it. That's like all the words I know. I'm lucky to remember an entire birthday song.
Yeah. No, I've never heard that. I remember the old In the Year 2000 bit on Conan O'Brien back before 2000, but not
oh
maybe.
Oh, gosh. Maybe, Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. Remember him?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I do. Yes, I do. Well, and he was in the news recently.
Unfortunately.
The sad Reiner situation. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's the first thing I thought of when you said that.
Well, it's the most current thing we know about him, unfortunately. But
Yeah. All right. So 12/25/25. Did you know, and I'm going to ask Danielle this, because you sent me this story or Kim did. I don't remember.
Okay.
Do you know we have a Michigan State fossil?
No.
And this begs the question, why?
Isn't it the Petoskey Stone? Isn't the Petoskey Stone a bunch of fossils?
But that would be considered, I'm guessing, it still is the state stone.
Okay. Yeah. So we have state stone that's a fossil, and we have a state fossil as well.
What's our state flower? I don't even, apple blossom maybe?
No.
I don't remember.
The construction barrel. Hey-o!
Yeah, that's what people like to say.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what the, according to this story, USA Today Network says, nearly every state in the U.S. has either an official dinosaur or fossil,
wow.
And that includes Michigan. And Michigan Senate Bill 397, passed in March of 2002, designates the Mammut Americanum as the state fossil.
Wow.
It came after a Washtenaw Community College geology professor proposed officially recognizing the mastodon as the state fossil. See, the mastodon, we've heard that one before.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Wait, we have the mastodon?
That is our Michigan state fossil. This apparently tickles you.
Wow.
You're pleased.
That's a big one.
Well, it's an elephant-like creature.
Correct.
That became extinct only 13,000 years ago, and it was WJR covered that extinction.
Right.
It was widespread across North America, according to the San Diego Natural History Museum, which also, by the way, has a tremendous zoo like we do in Detroit. So does San Diego.
Our sports teams need to leverage that. I think the Michigan Mastodons would be a great name for like a minor league hockey team or a minor league baseball team.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad you cleared that up or clarified that, because I thought you were talking about University of Michigan. I do not want my old school to be the Michigan Mastodons.
No,
Take the field.
I think it works. It's some good alliteration with that.
Well, see, the Wolverine is already in that vein, because the Wolverine's the state animal, isn't it?
Yeah. We've already recognized that. We got to recognize a different animal.
All right, well.
And you are
right.
Can
a mastodon be counted as an animal now?
Yeah, it's an elephant-like creature.
Yeah,
but it's been gone for 13,000 years.
It still existed. I'm ready to celebrate it.
Trust me, there's some scientists in a lab trying to bring back the mastodon, and to that I say, like I've said with every other study like that, why the heck would you want to bring back an animal like that?
Yeah, I would say,
did they not see that movie?
Jurassic Park. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Did they not see Jurassic Park?
Right.
Yeah, but these are like elephants, just woolly elephants. We'll just tape some fur onto elephants. And there it is.
Oh, boy.
A hairy elephant. By the way, have either of you ever ridden on an elephant?
Yes, I have.
Good for you. Isn't it bizarre?
It is so strange. But
the hair sticking up on their back is like wire.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like gross.
But it's gross.
Something that I almost forget that I did, because it doesn't seem like I did it.
Like you dreamed it.
Yeah. It seems unfathomable.
Well, it is kind of unfathomable for the average person, but we are lucky because we're in broadcasting. I'm glad you had that opportunity. I, too, had that opportunity many, many years ago. And what I remember most was how sore I was for days from having to almost do the splits to sit on that thing. It's not like, you know, you ride on a horse, that's one thing. But you ride on an elephant, it's a lot wider ride, and it's bizarre.
Did yours have a saddle on it, your elephant?
No.
Oh.
No, it did not.
Mine had an elephant saddle.
Wait, did Paul ride an elephant bareback?
Yeah, he did.
I rode a bareback elephant when the circus used to come to town. They used to get personalities, quote-unquote, and make us ride on the elephants into town to get all the publicity and the press and the cameras. Because, you know, television cameras show up. They show up hoping one of us falls off and gets squished to death by the elephant. That's why they show up. But it was not comfortable. And the elephant, though the elephant I don't think knew I was there, kept grabbing branches off trees along the route and smashing them on his back to scratch his back. But he forgot I was there. Or he knew damn well I was there and was trying to wipe me off. I don't know.
Well, you should have scratched your back for the elephant since you were there.
You mean I should have scratched the elephant's back?
Yes.
I couldn't scratch. I still can't scratch my back. One of the greatest things Kim can do for me is scratch my back. Does that mean I'm old? If I'm saying one of the top things Kim can do for me is scratch my back, that's almost that almost sounds sad. Never mind.
Forget short arms.
Can you scratch your back?
I can. Yeah, I guess
he's trying it right now.
Yeah. By the way, Paul, you're right. The apple blossom is the state flower.
Oh, good. All right. I couldn't remember for sure. And the Petoskey stone is our stone, right? I love Petoskey stones. I've never had my own. I've always dreamed I'd have a Petoskey stone in my pocket at all times, and kind of like a good luck piece, you know, a shiny, polished Petoskey stone. Because, you know, they look totally different. Once they're polished, they almost look like a snake skin.
Yeah,
almost.
Like a turtle shell.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Four mindful tips to de-stress this holiday season. I hear the music. Accept imperfection. Can good be good enough?
Yes, they can.
Don't lose sight of what really counts. What does this, where does this fit in the grand scheme of things? Can I use this moment of frustration as an opportunity to reflect? Even if this moment seems stressful, can I find a way to make it pleasant? Respond to kindness. That's number three. You can't change how others act during the stresses of the holiday season, but you can change how you respond to situations. And finally, mindful tips to de-stress the holiday season. Rethink your resolutions. Well, that's what I'm writing my Monday column about for the Detroit News this coming Monday after Christmas. And that is, I don't make resolutions anymore.
Me either.
People fail. Why set yourself up for fail? People don't, they don't, most resolutions don't last a week, let alone the first month.
Right.
And it says, start small, break your goal into tinier steps over the course of the year, and be kind to yourself. That's good. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others. That's pretty good advice for the holidays. All right, anything else? We'll have a list of what's open, what's closed on Christmas, and some other last-minute maybe, well, if not last-minute Christmas ideas, some other ideas. Anything else? Oh, my dad's letter to a friend at the end of
correct.
The show. Did that cover it, Mike?
I think you got it all.
I think we covered it all. We continue in focus with Paul W. Smith and the team, as we approach 1:15 at WJR. That's pretty music for the season. As we continue on this, our last live show of the year, we'll have shows for you. They call them the best of, which we try to make every show the best we can, obviously, but that's the way it goes. And that way we can have people having time off. All the hardworking support team you don't know that are behind the scenes, as well as my number one team, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, who are often joined by Marie Osborne, Dave Rieger, Ann Thomas, Mike Kim, Kim Smith, and Ray Templin, Kyle Emmy, Parker Moser, Dominic Valentine, our fearless leader, Steve Finiteri. Jeff Marcero leads the sales team, and we thank the entire sales team that makes it possible for us to offer you radio free every day. Mike Wheeler, and again, all the support team. It's the team that I often talk about here on WJR, and we're so appreciative of them for this holiday season. Now, we have received word. Well, actually, Danielle Mason has received word that on the west side of the state, there is a team using the Woolly Mammoths, and they play at Jimmy John's Field. Andy Appleby's a brilliant move many years ago when he created Jimmy John's Field. Done a great job with it, Andy. Now, where did you get this story, Danielle?
We have a listener. His name is Patrick. He's my friend, and he messaged me and said hello. And he said, we have the Westside Woolly Mammoths. They are a part of the USPBL. I don't know what that is.
United States. I don't know either.
I don't know, but whatever Jimmy John's Field is, whatever league that is, they play there.
Well, that Jimmy John's Field, it was a brilliant move by Andy Appleby many years ago. He's done a tremendous job. And it's a wonderful place to watch a ball game, that's for sure. Michael Bulotta of Bulotta Law is standing by. He's a federal criminal defense attorney, former federal prosecutor. And the story was front page yesterday, but still being talked about, obviously. Michigan Republicans looking into impeaching Attorney General Dana Nessel. Michael, welcome, and thanks for your expertise in advance.
Great to be here, Paul. And I think for my two cents, PBL probably stands for Professional Baseball League. And I say that with experience in the federal government where everything had initials. So that's my
Well, that's a good one. You say, Danielle, USPBL?
Yeah, we got confirmation from Brian that Michael Bulotta is correct. United States Professional United Shore Professional Baseball League.
Oh, so United close. Shore. Maybe they're the sponsor. Maybe. I'm not sure. But okay. Very good. Glad we got to the bottom of that and gave the Woolly Mammoths more publicity than they've had lately. Now, Michigan.
Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, Michael. That's all the time we have, Michael. Good night, everybody. What's going on here? Do they have a chance of impeaching the Attorney General?
So you're saying there's a chance? I think so, because under the Constitution, Paul, you're allowed to impeach various members of elected office, including the governor and the attorney general, if a majority of the House votes and the Senate holds a hearing. an impeachment trial, and the standard, one of the standards, is corrupt conduct in office. It's very vague for corrupt conduct in office. The other one is crimes and misdemeanors. I think the Republicans are going for the corrupt conduct in office. And I can think of one case that I personally handled that might be a candidate for the evidence in that trial, if there ever were a trial. And that involves those poor 16 people who were mostly all senior citizens, who Dana Nessel decided to indict, like along with my client, Rose Rook from Paw Paw, Michigan, age 84, for attempting to subvert the 2020 presidential election in Michigan when she, Dana Nessel, knew very well these people didn't commit any crimes. In fact, she even made statements on the public airwaves saying that they couldn't even be convicted of a crime because they believed Trump had won the election and therefore they had no criminal intent. So this whole prosecution that was fortunately dismissed because we had a real good judge, Judge Simmons in East Lansing, threw the whole thing out. But that's an example maybe of what the Republicans will point to when they look for, quote, corrupt conduct in office, since that was clearly motivated by politics, and that's really not her job.
Michael, I appreciate you telling us your own personal interaction in the story. That makes it even more powerful. And I got to tell you, those 16 people, and you said one of them was 84. I'm assuming that many of them were probably seasoned citizens of a certain age, probably scared the hell out of them. And for what reason?
Yes, and one of them was actually a former Michigan State Trooper who used to guard the governor, Robert Milliken, if you remember him.
We remember Governor Milliken, certainly. I don't know. From the beginning, I wanted to like Attorney General Dana Nessel, but it did see. Have you tried to get her on lately, Mike Parsons?
I have not.
Okay. Well, there was a time we tried to get her on, and I don't think we were able to. I remember the last time I may have interviewed her was at charity preview night for the auto show, and that was a gazillion years ago. But my point is this, she has
got. Was she sober? Let me just ask you that. Was she sober?
Why, as far as
like
I know.
Was she sober?
I think she was sober. I think I know what you're referring
to,
but I think she was sober. But my point is, I did start to notice that there was seemingly a tremendous amount of interest in anything the Republicans were doing. And it seemed like she had a long list of Republicans that she was going after. That was my impression.
Not to play both sides here, but it kind of feels like what our current president might be doing, or at least what people are accusing him of doing.
Going after Republicans? I don't think so. Oh, no, I know
no,
what you mean.
Going after the other party. Come on, stay with me.
I know what you mean, and it's clearly...
I'm an equal opportunity critic. I criticize both sides when I think they're wrong.
You should not go after someone just because you disagree with them or they're in a different party. I mean, come on already. There's plenty of things to work on.
There's 175 countries that already do that, and they're not democracies like our country. You know what I mean?
Right.
Lots of countries out there.
You're right. Last thoughts. Go ahead and say what you want to say on this story about the Michigan Republicans looking into impeaching Attorney General Dana Nessel.
Well, I think I don't know that this is the right avenue to hold her accountable. Unfortunately, she can't run again, so I don't think the voters will be able to weigh in. But I really do think we need to make some changes with our state attorney general and holding them accountable for the cases that they bring against our citizenry when it's not based on anything factual or any genuine good faith legal belief that these people committed a crime. And I think that is the real problem here. And this wasn't the only case I've handled with Dana Nessel bringing the charges that were not justified. And so I would like to see our attorney general's office become more like a true prosecutor's office, where the evidence and the merits of a case matter more than the politics of the party that they're investigating. That's all.
I think that's well put. And I think that's a good goal. Michael, God bless you. Happy holiday. Merry Christmas.
God bless you.
Happy
Merry
Kwanzaa.
Christmas. Well, you can say that again now.
Hanukkah, everything. Well, we never did stop saying it, frankly. All right, Michael Bulotta of Bulotta Law, federal criminal defense attorney, former federal prosecutor, and he might be coming after Attorney General Dana Nessel. It sounds like you might have reason to. I appreciate all that.
I'm just giving you my thoughts. I'm not going after anybody. I'm just giving you my thoughts.
Okay, we appreciate your thoughts. I would give you a penny, but they're in such short supply now since they don't make them anymore. I can't give you a penny for your thoughts.
I don't think you can afford it. They're going to be worth a lot someday because they're not going to be available.
Yeah, did you see? There was a huge run on the final pennies. In this pile of stuff, it's a story that might not be told because we're going to run out of time. But yeah, there was a run on the penny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I even asked for two rolls of pennies at the bank the other day.
That's all I'm looking for.
All right, we'll make sure that, we'll do what we can to put in a good word that might happen. Michael Bulotta, Bulotta Law, at 131 at WJR. A quick couple of looks here. My old friend Dale Fisher, the Helifoto and Galleries, great, great artist. He says, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and they got some things that you can still order in the gallery and get them picked up before Christmas. Dale Fisher Galleries. I would have to say to go online for that. Don't forget TroveMarket.com. Dave Meter told us about it. He's a creator of Trove Marketplace. Sellers, people with disabilities and low income, and they have some wonderful things you can find on there at Trove Marketplace. Go to TroveMarket.com. The Children's Center the tickets are on sale for the Auto Globe presented by Ford Motor Company to benefit the Children's Center. Of course, Lisa and Bill Ford and Leah and Jim Farley spearheading the Children's Center mission of helping amplify the voices of Detroit's most vulnerable children. It's going to be a fabulous party at the Restored Michigan Central on the Charity Preview Night and Ford Racing's 125-year legacy. Go online to thechildrencenter.com and get more information, childrencenter.com. Great gift idea. I just mentioned it yesterday for the first time, or the day before maybe. The Lomas Brown Jr. Golf Classic.com. You want to give a wonderful playing spot or two in the next golf outing, July 13th, Monday, at the fabulous Country Club of Detroit. People would love to play that course. So if you last minute need to get something for someone, give them a couple of playing rounds for the next Lomas Brown Jr. Golf Classic, July 13th, at the CCD, Country Club of Detroit. Go to LomasBrownJrGolfClassic.com. And frankly, while you're thinking about it, if you want to give a great gift to a loved one and surprise him or her, we've got an unforgettable trip through Europe's most beloved destinations, from the vibrant spirit of Spain to the elegance of France and Monaco and the timeless charm of Italy. It's a journey designed to delight the entire way. It's going to be a fabulous trip. Kim and I will be your hosts. You can expect laughter, connection, and memories that last long after the trip ends, and many friends that will be yours for a lifetime. We've seen that a lot. Cruise and Tour, celebrating 50 years. You know them well by now. Call them at 800-383-3131 and try to join us on that trip in 26. 800-383-3131. Everything's closed on Christmas, pretty much, other than the CVS will have some special hours. Sheets stores are open with their regular hours, 24/7, and 7-Eleven. Most of their stores are going to be open on Christmas Day as well. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard never takes a holiday, his hardworking men and women. And he's going to give us some quick advice here on how to make sure our homes are not a target. If you happen to be out of town for the holidays or going one place or another and the house will be empty, he's got some ideas. Sheriff, always a pleasure, Michael.
Hey, nickel for your thoughts, my friend.
Well, you fit in right away with that. The loss of the penny, we now go up to a nickel.
Inflation.
So we need to do certain things around the house. It's got to be more than just the interior lights, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, it's a number of things. First, make sure before you leave, you check your whole house. Check, your windows, your doors, make sure everything's locked. If you have an alarm, set it. If you've got camera systems, make sure they're operating. Make sure you talk to friends and neighbors that you trust to look after your house, make tracks if there's a snowstorm. pick up any mail or packages so it doesn't look unlived in, make it look like it's lived in, you know, randomize your lights, do things like that, and have somebody, again, look after your house. Most communities, most police agencies will do extra patrol house watches on homes if you let them know you're going to be out of town. So I would suggest all of those are definitely in the mix. And we know, you know, a lot of folks sometimes leave their cars in the driveway. Make sure your car's locked. Valuables are out of it. There's no garage door opener in it because there's been a big rash of larceny from autos and actually auto thefts in Oakland County recently where 2, 3, 4 in the morning, they're just going up and down the blocks and checking doors. And if the door opens, they go see what they can steal and they push the start button, see if the fob's in the car and take the car if it is. So make sure garage door openers, valuables are out of the car and locked.
You know, one thing that you have listed too, Sheriff Michael Bouchard, just some last minute tips to keep the home safe, especially if you're traveling for the holidays. The idea, some people still leave a spare key out of doors. And what we have to understand is that, unfortunately, today's burglar is pretty savvy. They know about popular hiding places. So forget the mat beneath the mat or in the potted plants. I guess it's just not a good idea to leave a spare key outdoors anymore.
Definitely not in a spot like that that's obvious. You know, if you want to leave a key for an emergency, again, leave it with a trusted neighbor or someone like that, or get a fully 1-inch throw deadbolt that's an electronic that you can control remotely and let people in if that's what you need to do. But the other thing, if you're leaving town, make sure that you're not posting, hey, can't wait to get to Florida or wherever you're headed on Facebook and basically announce to the world, hey, that house that we're trying to make look lived in is empty. The whole family's on the way out of town. So, you know, for those that want to post all those pictures, they feel they, you know, the need to tell the world where they've been, do it when you get home. Say, hey, photo dump, just got back from a great vacation.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And people should be able to hold off on that. It's safer, better. Michigan launches Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over. The campaign is underway for the holidays right now.
Yep. Big push is to make sure that folks have the ability to travel, to go see and spend time with loved ones and do it in a safe manner, make sure everyone gets there. Let's make sure we all drive responsibly. If you're going to drink, fine. If you're going to smoke marijuana, fine. Both are legal in Michigan. Have someone else drive. Just be responsible. We're going to have extra patrols out just like everyone else, looking to take people off the street that are driving in an intoxicated fashion, because what we don't want is this holiday that everyone looks forward to becomes one that someone dreads because they lost a loved one to that behavior.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wish to you, my friend, and we have been friends for years, a wonderful, beautiful Merry Christmas to you and Pam and the kids, including having Mike back home from service and now running for office. God bless him. And may this new year be a happy, healthy, holy new year for you and yours. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard. Give our love to Pam.
Will do. Merry Christmas to you and Kim. We love you.
Well, we love you, and you know that. We continue on News Talk 760 WJR at 1:42. Well, there's a lesson here for your kids and for, well, not just for kids. Restraint and understanding what you have and how you could put it at risk. You saw the story, Mike Parsons, about that DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
Who took a swing at one of our fans. Well, he has a 2-game suspension for his altercation with a fan, but this could hit him in more ways than just missing out on the field. The ban, which the league dubbed, quote, conduct detrimental to the NFL, voids the future guaranteed money in his contract. That's voiding a guaranteed $45 million that was guaranteed in his contract, but the clause in his deal mentions if he can't practice or play with the club for any reason, the guarantees he has, quote, will be null and void.
Right. So if he stays with the team for his whole contract, he'll make that money. But like you said, it was in his contract, even if he doesn't fulfill it. Even
if he got hurt, things that never used to happen in football, they're now guaranteeing money.
Right.
But he just blew that.
Right. And probably why he's appealing, which he probably won't win, obviously. But
I hope he's learned a lesson.
And then when it comes to the fan, we were hearing reports yesterday that, number one, DK Metcalf had reported this fan to security back in Seattle because he was harassing him last season. People in DK Metcalf's camp said that this fan called his mother the C word and he called DK the N word. The fan put out a statement through a law firm saying that that wasn't true. So this is becoming quite messy.
It ends on this program right here. We'll leave it with five Lions named to the 2026 Pro Bowl. So
Jack news.
Campbell, Jahmyr Gibbs, Aiden Hutchinson, Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown. All named to the Pro Bowl. All right. I want to tell you about my Pro Bowl and my award-winning team. And I'm going to do that right now. Mike Parsons, our executive producer. Danielle Mason running the controls. Rich Sluzinski. Along the way, Marie Osborne joins us. Dave Rieger. Ann Thomas, our program director. Mike Kim Smith. Kim always helping out with Relentless Positive Radio. Engineers like Ray Templin, Kyle Emmy, Parker Moser, Dominic Valentine. Who am I missing? Anybody in the team there, Mike, that you can think of? I didn't jot down just now. Steve Finiteri, our boss, Jeff Marcero, with all the salespeople, Mike Wheeler, all of the support team, the people behind the scenes, the team. I send to you now the Christmas card I've sent for 40, 50 years. It is my father reading Letter to a Friend, our Christmas card to you right now.
I salute you. I am your friend, and my love for you goes deep. There is nothing I can give you which you have not got. But there is much, very much, that while I cannot give it, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in today. Take heaven. No peace lies in the future, which is not hidden in this present little instance. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. There's radiance and glory in the darkness, could we but see. And to see we have only to look. I beseech you to look. Life is so generous a giver, but we, judging its gifts by their covering, cast them away as ugly or heavy or hard. Remove the covering and you will find beneath it a living splendor, woven of love, by wisdom, with power. Welcome it, grasp it, and you touch the angel's hand that brings it to you. Everything we call a trial or a sorrow or a duty, believe me, that angel's hand is there, the gift is there, and the wonder of an overshadowing presence. Our joys, too, be not content with them as joys. They, too, conceal diviner gifts. Life is so full of meaning and purpose, so full of beauty beneath its covering, that you will find earth but cloaks your heaven. Courage then to claim it, that is all. But courage you have, and the knowledge that we are pilgrims together, wending through unknown country, home. And so at this Christmas time, I greet you. Not quite as the world sends greetings, but with the profound esteem and with the prayer that for you, now and forever, the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Merry Christmas.
My late father, William D. Smith from Monroe. You've heard my mother, Sweet Marie's song, Oh, Now It Is Christmas. And now I say to you, what an honor it has been coming into your home, your cars, wherever we are together, whether you're listening at 760 on the AM dial, WJR, all these years, or streaming us now at WJR.com, or coming back to the show when it's more convenient if you can't be around noon to 2 and podcasting us again at WJR.com. I can't put into words how important you are in my life, and you are part of our family, which is why I, on behalf of Kim and me and the kids and everyone, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and a very happy, healthy, holy New Year. Stand by for news and the one and only Ryan Ermani with JR Afternoon. And Ryan, I know you're ready, and it's going to be an especially nice Christmas for you and Nicole, and I wish for you the most. It's been quite a year for you, my friend, and I think mostly very, very good. Right?
Paul, I have to tell you, that was incredible what you did at the end of the show. And to you personally, thank you for helping me along here, get my foot started here, off on the right foot, I should say, at WJR. What an incredible year this has been. I'm so humbled. Merry Christmas, buddy, well, to you and Kim and the fam.
We are... Merry Christmas to you and Nicole and the family, and you are such a great addition to this great family. Gotta run. Regards, Paul W. Smith.